Our scripture for today comes from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Hear the word of the Lord. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, and even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not look up at heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other, for all who exalt themselves would be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. May God bless this reading, hearing of his holy scripture. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, open our minds, our hearts, and our souls up, and may what is said, heard, and understood this day give you glory. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So what is your self-image? Self-image is defined as an individual's subjective evaluation of their own worth. It is an evaluation of what kind of person that we are, how well that we can take and do things. And self-image can have a positive or it can have a negative effect on our lives. A positive effect is when we are absolutely confident in our ability to do something. A positive effect is also being cautious but having some hesitation because we have a pretty good idea of how to do something, but we're not quite sure. And lastly, the positive effect is when we know that we absolutely have no idea what to do and that it is better if we seek help or just leave it alone. Negatively, self-image can be if we are overly confident in our abilities. If we think that we absolutely, positively can do something, but the reality is, nope, we can't do it, or we are not what we think that we are. Opposite, it can be that we are so unconfident in our abilities that it keeps us from even trying to do something. The negative impact is that it can overly inflate or overly deflate our sense of importance. Our scripture today is Jesus addressing self-image regarding how righteous we think we are versus how righteous we really are. And he tells about a Pharisee and a tax collector going to the temple to pray. So in biblical times, you went to the temple and you would pray, and if you could afford it, you could get the priest to go in, sprinkle a little incense in the holies of holies on your behalf. If you were a Pharisee, you were at the top of the religious and the social ladder in biblical times. You were the cream of the crop, and you were distinguished by your strict obedience of the traditional and the written law, and therefore you had superior sanctity in the eyes of God. So this Pharisee is standing in the temple praying, and more than likely he is praying out loud, and he goes, "Oh my Lord God, it is so good that I am so much better than those that are around me, those despicable thieves, the detestable adulterers, and especially that no good, rotten, dirty, thieving, godless, hopeless tax collector." "Oh Lord, I show you my devotion. I fast twice a week, and I give to the temple 1/10 of my income. And I do special projects. When we needed a new stained glass window, I purchased that stained glass window and made sure that there was a large plaque there so that everyone would know what I have done. Thank you, God. Am I not the most perfect example of what one of your followers should be? Thank you, God, that I am so righteous and I am so holy." That would kind of like be me standing up here and saying, "Oh God, I am just so happy that I am so better than anybody else because I'm a part-time pastor at First Christian Church of Pulaski. I am your called messenger. I am so much better than those around me, than those in my congregation, the retired pastors, the electrical workers, and especially the lawyers." Excuse me? The lawyer. Okay. I wasn't going to call attention to you, but since you, anyhow, you understand what I'm saying. And then you have this tax collector, and this tax collector is standing off to the side. He doesn't want to draw attention to himself because he does not want to invite the wrath of the crowd. More than likely in his younger days, he saw this opportunity to be a tax collector, to get wealthy. He saw how very easy it would be to overcharge people and just keep that for himself. And soon he would be living on Easy Street without a care in the world. More than likely, I think his conscience finally caught up with him, and he realized what he had really got himself into. And he realized how he was, in fact, harming his people, harming his community. And while he was probably very wealthy because of the things that he was doing, I think he also realized that he had an empty life and that he had an empty heart, that there was very little satisfaction in his life. It was very, very hollow. And his prayer is very simple. "God, my life is miserable. It is not gone as I thought. I have messed up and I am not following your will. I am a sinner, and while I do not deserve it, please grant me your mercy. The sad fact is, I think, that if you look at today's world, that there are Christians out there that act more like that Pharisee than they do the tax collector. They believe that since they have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that this somehow makes them special, that it makes them superior to all the people around them. And because they are special, because they have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what? That means that I get to pass judgment. That I get to call out all of the thieves, all of the adulterers, all the people that are going against what God would have us to do. Unfortunately, a lot of these people are very prominent on the various types of media, on TV, on radio, on social media. They have a plethora of books out. And other than them acting like a Pharisee, the downside is that this is the face of Christianity that the world sees. They see this attitude that is, in a word, wrong, and they equate all Christians to be like that. Now, the reality is, even those of us that are saved, that know the Lord Jesus Christ, we all owe a rather large debt to God for our sins. Even though we are saved, we still have the consequences of our actions hanging over our head. It's a debt that we, quite frankly, that we can't cover and we will never cover. The good thing is, Jesus covered the cost. There's an analogy that I like when each of us is standing before the Lord, Father, God, that he is going to say, okay, you know, he's going to go through all of our sins and say, you owe me a debt. How are you going to pay that? And Jesus stands up and he says, Dad, I've got this. He made it possible for us to get a get out of jail free card. And all that Jesus asks is our love, our gratitude, and our discipleship. Just because we have been saved does not mean that we can now act however we want to. Just because I am saved doesn't mean that I can go out and I can get smashed on the weekends on drugs or alcohol. That I can go out and have relations with any person that I want to. And it's okay. It's covered. Jesus has got it covered. Some Christians think that that makes us perfect. There's a bumper sticker that I like that says, Christians are not perfect, just forgiven. Our attitude and our self-image need to be more in line with the tax collector. Even though we are saved and we are forgiven, we are still sinners. We're going to sin every day of our lives. And because we are sinners, we are on an equal level with everyone around us. We're no better and we're no worse than any of the people that we come across with. The only thing is, we have been forgiven. We still, every day of our lives, need to tap into the grace and the love of God. We are not to look down on people, but we are to take and lift them up. We are not to brag about how richly we are blessed, how devout we are to God, and how we are so much better than all of those thieves, those scam artists, those politicians, the people that work at Walmart and Target, etc., etc., etc. This does not mean that we cannot take comfort in knowing Jesus. This does not mean that we cannot have a bit of satisfaction and, yes, even a little bit of pride in being able to do the things that we are able to do, as long as we thank God that we are able to do it. We're all different. I can't play the organ. I don't think I could be a school teacher. I don't think I could work for the electric company. And I sure as shooting know that I can't be a lawyer. That gift has not been given to me. In verse 14, Jesus concludes and says, I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went down to his home justified rather than the other one. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. Our self-image should include, like I said, the confidence to do whatever our chosen profession was. We need to have thankfulness that we have a Savior that loves us enough to pay the price of our sins. We need to be thankful and recognize that our blessings come from God. And our self-image, we have to have humility that God has seen fit to use a miserable sinner such as I to be his hands and his feet and his voice here on earth. One of my favorite verses that describes what I think the Christian life is all about is Micah 6, verse 8. He has told you, O mortal, what is good and what does God require of you but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. To love, to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. As we go about our daily lives, may our self-image reflect this sentiment. Yes, be proud of the things that you're able to do. Thank God that you're able to do that. But remember not to look down your nose at anyone, because you're no better and you're no worse than anyone else. Amen.